We're on page 88, five lines from the bottom of the page. The last thing the Gemara was discussing was an argument. Rav and Shmuel held one way, Ula held another way, and basically it was like this. A father could accept Kedushin for his daughter, under 12, and it becomes a biblical Kedushin. She would need a get completely and so on. What happens if a girl accepted Kedushin, she accepted the ring, without her father knowing about it? So Rav and Shmuel said she needs to do a get and miyun. Means she needs to make the refusal. Like if a girl's father died and the brothers and mother marry her off. So on the day she becomes bat mitzvah, she says, I refuse, I don't want this marriage, and it's over. 88. And you also need a get. Ula says, what are you talking about? There's no marriage over here. There's no nothing. You don't need get. You don't need miyun. You don't need anything. That was the last Gemara that we're learning. So it says like this. Masiv Rav Kahane. Rav Kahane asked the question. Okay, I have to say this din. Some of these dinim. Huh? Okay, this din is as follows. If a man dies without children, the brother has to do yibum. Right? He has to marry her. Or nowadays, what we do is chalitza. You take off the shoe, you spit, the whole procedure which permits the woman to remarry. But if a man dies childless, the woman is not allowed to remarry, either until the brother marries her, or the brother gives chalitza. Okay? That's what allows this woman now to remarry to anybody else. What happens if the woman is not halachically allowed to marry the brother? How do you have such a case? Very simple case. There's a din. Huh? No, Kohen can marry a widow. She's a widow, not a divorcee. A simple case, there's a lot of cases, but the simple case that we're going to learn now about in the Gemara is as follows. A guy marries his niece, which according to the Gemara, it's a mitzvah to marry your niece. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda says you shouldn't do it, but in the Gemara it says it's a mitzvah to marry your niece. Mipsachal to Salem, don't forget about your family. It's a mitzvah to marry a niece. So picture the scenario. A guy marries his niece, and he dies without kids. His brother has to marry her. Who's his brother? Her father. Right? Her husband's brother is her father. Correct?
Unless there is other brothers.
Yeah. Well, one second. But let's say there's this brother. So then the guy can marry his daughter. So the halacha is, if you can't do yibum, you don't need to do chalitza either. The woman can remarry in any way whatsoever. Even if there's other brothers, by the way. The fact that one brother cannot do yibum with her because it's his daughter, right? So the halacha is, she does not have to do yibum or chalitza. Not only that, there's a din like this. What happens if there's 15 women, okay, that a guy is not allowed to marry? Okay? You can't marry your daughter, you can't marry your granddaughter, you can't, you know, the daughter of your wife. There's a lot of people, okay, that you can't marry. Now, what happens if this guy has a number of wives? The childless guy has a number of wives. When he dies, because one of the girls can't do yibum with the brother, because it's her father, all the other wives are also out of the picture. They don't need to do anything either. Even though they could marry the brother, right? But once one of the wives cannot marry the brother, because it's her father in this case, so then they're all off the hook. Now, just for the expressions of the Gemara, when a guy has two wives, they're very jealous of each other. That's one of the reasons why Chacham said one wife's enough. It's a lot of reasons, but that's what the Chacham said, one wife is enough. But they have the concept called Tzara. Tzara means like an enemy. even though they're not enemies, but there's still jealousy, who's getting more of the husband's attention, who's getting less of the husband's attention. So that's, they're called the tzaddis. Each one, if there's a guy has four wives, because biblically you can have, you know, as many as you want, you can, each one of them to the other is called a tzara. Okay? So it says like this. There's an abrais, it says like this. The kulam, if any one of these 15 women died, or they performed miyun, because they got married when they were underage, under bat mitzvah, so all they had to, and not by the father, so all they had to do was do miyun, or shenimtzu oishin is gashu, or they were divorced, or shenimtzu islandus, wasn't of them was found to be an islandus. An islandus is also a strange breed. It's a woman who is an adult, but she does not have the female signs of a woman, and in certain respects she's like a man. Her voice is like a man, and she's not able to have children. Okay? Now, the whole purpose of Yibum is to have children from your brother's wife, because you didn't have children. He didn't have children with her. The whole purpose is to build the brother's name. So an islandess can't do Yibum either. Right? So then, so they say mutaris. All their tzaris, meaning all the other wives of these 15 types of wives. Okay? Now, for instance, and this is what they're saying. Again, to use the example we gave. A guy marries his niece. Okay? But she was underage, and the father never accepted the kedushin for her. Okay? So the guy married his 10-year-old niece. That it was somehow a marriage without the father. Okay?
That could happen.
Well, if the father died. Okay.
No.
The Gemara is going to discuss how. Okay. The whole story is going to bring out the father had to be alive, because if he's dead, how could you do yibum with him if he's dead? Right. The girl's father is alive, but what does this Mishnah Braisa say? That a girl that married her uncle. Okay. We'll take this slow and easy. It's not. It's just simple. It's not
without the father.
The girl got married without the father. Okay, she's 10 years old. Okay, when she turned 12, she said, "I don't want my uncle. I hate his guts. I don't want him." Okay, then that husband died. Her husband died. Her uncle that she was married to died. Now, technically, she's an ex of him. Correct? She's an ex of the husband. So she doesn't have to do yibum. Correct? Because she's not married to him anymore. If a guy is married to a woman, If a guy is married to a woman, correct? No kids. And he divorces her. And then he dies. There's no yibum here. Right? It's not his wife. She's divorced. Right? Okay. So what the Mishnah is saying over here is like this. A woman that divorced, or she can't have children. Okay? All these cases. Yeah? Or she did miyun with the uncle. In all of these cases, not only is she does not have to do yibum, but all the other wives of the guy also don't have to do yibum or chalitza. Okay, that's what it says in this braisa.
He has other wives.
Okay? Yeah.
So because she doesn't have to, they don't have to be?
Correct.
Even though they're legally...
Correct. Even though they're still married to her. But the fact that there was a woman, one of the wife was divorced, or miyund, did miyun, or couldn't have kids, or they died, whatever. In any of these stories, all the other women don't have to do yibum either.
So that way, if a guy has multiple wives and none of them have children and the husband dies, the brother has to marry all five of them?
Uh-huh. Or do chalitza to all five.
But that philosophy
doesn't exist.
The jealousy of the woman is that that's the reason behind that. They say that.
There's not the reason for this halacha, okay, that in the fact that... I made a mistake. In all of these cases, the husband could do yibum with them. I'm sorry. If the girl was still his niece and he died, so because she cannot marry her father, right, none of them can marry the father either. Right. The brother. Okay?
Right.
But if she got divorced or died or something else, then if when the husband dies, they all can marry the brother. When she was alive, because she couldn't marry her father, none of them were allowed to marry the father. But if she died, or got divorced, or did miyun, or anything like that, in that case, all the other wives, let's say there are four other wives, they can marry the brother of the deceased. Because she, when she was alive, through her, they were all forbidden to marry her father. But now that she's not around, she's out of the picture, so they could marry the father. Okay? But the bottom line over here, this is what's important in the Gemara. It says, the girl did miyun.
Miyun is what again?
The refusal
to the husband.
Because it wasn't a marriage by the father.
At the age of
12. At the age of 12, and that day, she turns 12, she says to the husband, sayonara, I don't want you. Goodbye. That's all she has to do. Miyun means to refuse. I refuse to be with you. No.
Null and void.
Null and void. They write a document, not a get. They write a document that she did it. Because people should know that she's a lot, you know. But it's not a get. There's no din of a get.
Only because that happened. The only reason this is happening.
She's not divorced. She's not considered a divorcee either.
Divorced because she was.
And she can marry a kohen, by the way.
She was married underage.
Right. Right. Now.
She was married with the father. She didn't get.
No, if the father married her off, she's a full-fledged wife. She needs a get. If the father marries off his 10-year-old daughter, she is a full-fledged married woman. She needs a get.
But she could still refuse that.
No.
If the brother married her, then she could. There's no father, and the brother's married her.
If the mother or there's no father in the picture, and the brothers or the mother married her off, correct? Then all she has to do is refusal. If the father marries her off, she is a full-fledged married woman. The only way she gets out of it is with a get. Okay? Now, what's the case over here? Just picture the case for a second. A guy married his niece. How did he do it? That she would be able to do miyun? The father's out of the picture. Correct?
Yeah.
But in this case, the father can't be out of the picture. He's the one that's supposed to be doing yibum.
Right.
So that means he's alive.
Right.
So how do you have a case where a father's alive and there's miyun? Normally miyun means the girl is married off by the brothers or the mother. The father is out of the picture. Right? And therefore they did the wedding. So the chacham said, okay, we'll allow the wedding to be, but it's not a wedding. She could just refuse it. But here we're saying the case is the brother has to do yibum, her father has to do yibum. Right? Now the question is, if the father is dead, how could he do yibum? So obviously he's alive. So where do you find the case that a father's alive and the marriage only needs miyun to nullify it? So according to Rav and Shmuel, we have a case.
Father and
Meshuggah? No. The girl accepted Kedushim without the father's knowledge. And what did Rav and Shmuel say? You need miyun and get. So you can have a scenario of miyun. But according to Ula, that you don't need miyun, you don't need get, it's worthless. How do you have a case that the Braisa says, or the Mishnah says, that you have a case of miyun and the father's around? How do you have such a case? So it's a question on Ula. Because the only seemingly possible case is the girl accepted, the father's alive. The girl accepted Kedushin without the father's knowledge. Right? So Rav and Shmuel said she needs get and miyun. So then we have a case of miyun. But according to Ula, that if the girl accepted Kedusha without the father's knowledge, it's worthless. You don't even need Miun. So how did the case of a father alive that the girl is doing Miun?
Kohen.
No. That's what it says. Kitchaman, who did the Kedusha here? What? Yeah, no, you are. Elaim the Kitchavia, if the father married her off, right? So the Gemara says, B'miyun sagula. Miyun is not enough. If the father married off the daughter, get malia. You need a real get. Because the father married her off. Elu, we must say, the kidsha il nafsha. She did her own kedushin. Yeah, she did her own kedushin. If that's the case, yet says boy miyun, that you have to do miyun. So it's a question on Ula. Because Ula said, if a girl underage accepts her own kedushin without the father's knowledge, you don't need miyun or get. You don't need anything. Right? So how do you have a case where the father's around and the girl needs miyun? Like the Braisa says. It's a Mishnah, not a Braisa. Okay? Which case?
Yeah, without them, the father died. He showed up afterward.
But the question is, if it's not a good kedushin, it wouldn't be valid even if the father showed up.
Well, what if the father did give her away and then in that 2 years between 10 and 12, he went crazy? No, really.
So she still would need a get. She can't just refuse. The only time in halacha, so far, the Gemara is going to come up with a scenario, by the way, of course. The only time that a girl can get out of a marriage only with refusal, miun, is if the mother or if brother is married off after the father died. That's the only case. Okay? There's no father, because if the father did it, it's a real 100% good kedushin she needs to get. According to Shvav and Shmuel, you have another case where a girl would need miun, even if the father is alive. What is that case? When the girl accepted kedushin without the father's knowledge. The 10-year-old girl went over to a boy. The boy gave her a ring. Said, I am kedushously in front of two witnesses. So Rav and Shmuel says she needs miyun. And a get. Right? But, according to Ula, you don't need miyun. It's worthless. So how do you have a case, according to Ula, the Gemara is asking, that there is a father, and you still need miyun? If the father married her off, you need a get. If the father didn't marry you off, according to Ula, you don't need anything. So how can the Mishnah say that you need miyun? So my answer, there is one case. Rav Kahana asked the question, and Rav Kahana answered the question. Something this. Kigen shenasala maisa yaseima b'chayi aviv. She became an orphan when the father was still alive. What does that mean? Not that she became an orphan. She has a din of an orphan. The din is like this. A father, this is a very interesting halach also. It doesn't happen today, but we learned if a father marries off his daughter, it's biblical kedushin. Okay, so let's take the scenario. A father marries off his 8-year-old daughter to a man, to Reuven. Okay, full-fledged married woman. When she's 10, Reuven divorces her. She needs a get, because she's full-fledged marriage. Reuven divorces her. Then she goes ahead and accepts kedushin from another man. The din is that marriage needs miyun
without
her father's consent. Why is it? Because the father only has jurisdiction over his daughter until he marries her off. The second he marries her off, he loses the jurisdiction over his daughter, even if she got divorced
before 12.
The father has no say over her anymore. The father cannot accept kedushin for her.
But this is only the case of a second marriage.
Correct.
The first marriage she doesn't need to.
The first marriage she needs to get. The father did it.
Oh, that's if the father married her off.
I'm saying, the scenario is the father married off his 8-year-old daughter to Reuven.
Right.
She divorced at 10. Reuven divorced her. But the din is, the second the father marries her off, he has no more jurisdiction over her.
Even before 12?
Yeah. Once he met, that's what I'm saying. Even if she got divorced at 10 or 9,
she's not coming back.
And 10, even if she moved back in, it doesn't matter. She's not under the jurisdiction of the father. So therefore, she's not a gedolah yet. She's not 12. She's underage. So then you can have a case. She accepted kedushin from somebody else. And then, but it's only a little bit that she could refuse at 12.
Oh, she can still refuse
the second one at because 12? She's still a kid. Uh-huh. The father lost jurisdiction over her, but she's still a kid. She can accept kedushin, but it's only good enough that if she refuses on her 12th birthday, she's finished. So this is a case, you can have a father alive that would have to do yibum with the daughter, right? But the father's alive, and she still only needs meal, and she doesn't need a get. And that's what the Mishnah over there is talking about.
Are we saying that in the second marriage, at age 10, she's marrying her uncle?
No. So the case is like this. The father married off when she was 8 to the uncle. And then she got divorced, and she did meal. So now those other wives... can marry Yibum, can marry the brother, the father's brother, who is the girl's father.
What other wives? Man,
you know, people have Osama bin Laden, have many wives, you know that. Okay. But he wasn't Jewish.
I thought you were talking about her, that you could marry.
No, she can't marry the father.
Oh, no, the case over here is.
So she can't marry the father, but the other one's
complicated.
It's not so complicated. Once you get it straight, it's not complicated. Let's say very simple, okay? The case over here is a girl married her uncle, which is allowed. A nephew cannot marry an aunt. That's mamzer, if you do. Okay? Capital punishment. But an uncle can marry a niece. Now, an uncle, we'll call him Uncle Moshe. Uncle Meshi married his niece. And he married a few more wives also. Right? Minatoi, you could have a few wives. Let's say altogether he married 4 wives. Okay? He died childless. So technically the brother has to do yibum or chalitza with the girls. The problem is, one of the girls is his daughter. Right? The brother married his niece.
With all of those
no. So the din is, we learned before, because there's no yibum with her, because he can't marry her, it's his daughter, mm-hmm. He doesn't have to do anything with the other girls either. The other 3 wives do not need yibum, they do not need chalitza, they can just marry whoever they want. Okay? Because the fact that he cannot marry one of the girls frees all of them from yibum. And not only that, if you're free, then you're not allowed to marry. You cannot marry, by the way, you cannot marry, if a guy dies with kids, yeah? His widow cannot marry her brother-in-law. You're not allowed to marry your brother-in-law if there's kids. It's only, the Torah says, if there's no kids, the brother has to marry his brother's widow. But if there are kids, even after the husband dies, you can't marry your brother-in-law. It's one of the adayas. Okay? Yeah, you know, you can't.
Really?
Can't marry the brother-in-law?
No. Well, what's the mark? One second.
What's
the in-law? In-law, but they can't marry on anyway. Now, what happens, the Mishnah says, not here, later, that the Gemara quotes, what happens if this daughter, niece, okay, got divorced, or did miyun, or couldn't have kids, she was an islandess, or whatever it was, before her husband died, before her husband died, this girl who married Uncle Meshi got divorced or miyund or cannot have kids. So now she's out of the picture. So then when the brother dies, he could marry any of the 3 other wives. The brother, which is her father, can marry any of those 3 wives. That's the case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah tried figuring out, where do you have a case of miyun if the father's alive? Her father's alive because we're talking about him doing yibum. So if the father's alive, how do you have a case of miyun? So the Gemara thought the only scenario would be according to Rav and Shmuel, that a girl under bas mitzvah accepted kedushin without the father's knowledge. So then you need get and mi'un, so that's a case of mi'un. But according to Ula, that you don't need anything, how in the world does... So that's a question on Ula. That means Ula's wrong. Because the Mishnah says there is a case of mi'un. Okay? So the Gemara answers, no, there is a scenario. Rav Kahana, who asked the question, says, I'll find you a scenario that a girl has a father and there's still a case of mi'un. What's the case? The father married off his daughter. Okay? To the brother. To the brother, right? She divorced, he divorced her.
At the age of 10.
Whatever, any age, right?
Before 12.
Before 12, 100%, before 12. Then she re-accepted Kedusha from Yankel.
Yeah.
Okay? So the father is alive, but the father has no jurisdiction over her to do Kedusha with her. Yeah. What's the whole chash? Rav and Shmuel said before that a girl that accepts kedushin underage needs get and miun. They said, why do you need a get? Because maybe the father liked the shidduch. So even though she did it without him, but maybe he liked the shidduch. Here it doesn't matter if the father likes the shidduch. Once he marries off his daughter, he has absolutely no jurisdiction over his daughter. The same thing the Gemara is going to say, I don't know if we'll get that today, but the Gemara is going to say a little bit later that, you know, a father can sell his daughter as a slave. Yeah? That's only if she was never married. What happened? A father married off his 8-year-old daughter. Yeah? And at 9 she got divorced. The father can't sell her as a slave, as Ami Vriya, the Jewish girl, because he doesn't have any jurisdiction over her anymore. That's it. The father's out of the picture. It depends. She has kids.
Right, if she doesn't have kids.
If she doesn't have kids, she goes back to the father. She could have Truma. If she has a kid.
I know, she has a kid, no.
But it's not a question of jurisdiction. It's a question is, he still doesn't have the jurisdiction to control her, to marry her off, to sell her as a slave. But she's still connected to the father as a Bas Kohen, and she didn't have a kid from a Yisrael, so she can still eat Truma. That's not a... has nothing to do with jurisdiction. There's nothing to do with jurisdiction. Huh? The Torah says, if she doesn't have kids...
As long as she doesn't have kids.
And
then he does have jurisdiction again?
No. Once the girl is married, the father has no jurisdiction over her. He can't sell her. He can't marry her off. It doesn't matter if he agrees to the shidduch or not. It doesn't matter. The father has no jurisdiction over her. What?
Can a brother marry his stepsister?
Stepsister? Technically, yes. But certain times it says you shouldn't because they might think it's a brother and a sister. Huh? That's what I'm saying. It says, technically, a brother and a sister who converted. Goyim. Okay? Brother and a sister who converted to Yiddishkeit. Technically, it says they can marry each other. Because they're not brother and sister anymore. But, halacha says they shouldn't, because it looks funny, as goyim, they couldn't. Because brother can't marry his sister. And as Jews they could, it doesn't look right. Chacham said you can't do it. Because it's a newborn baby.
No family.
They're not related to the parents either. Technically, I mean, again, you can't do it. Technically, if a man marries a non-Jewish woman, has a girl, together. They have a girl, right? And she's not Jewish, correct? Now she converts. Technically, she can marry her father, her biological father. Practically speaking, Allah says no, because again, as a guy, you couldn't. Now as a Jew, you could.
She's not related anymore.
What's become? Halachically, you're not related.
They're not related, but a Jew can't marry
her. What?
Father would be
even after she becomes Jewish, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right.
So
why? No, technically he could. Biblically you could.
Oh,
yeah. It's not his daughter anymore.
Yichud
doesn't apply though. Because there's still a biological connection that wouldn't cause wrong relations. Okay.
How many
Bais HaMikdash? Okay. Masiv Rav Kahane, Rav Amnun, I'm sorry. Rav Amnun asked a different question. It says like this. I have to explain this then. There's a din, a father can sell his daughter as a slave, correct? Now, what the Torah says, what happens if the master who bought her wants to marry her? Or, Zolim Parshas Mishpatim, or he wants to give her to his son to marry? They could. Yeah, I'm saying by Allah, they could do it, right? Either the master could, and not only that, you don't have to redo Kedushin. You don't even have to redo Kedushin. Either, what we'll soon see in the Gemara, either the money that he bought her with was given with the intent that in case he wants to marry her, he gave her already money to the father for the Kedushin, or the fact that by marrying her she becomes freed, you're giving her freedom, so you're giving her something now. There's two ways.
What age?
Under 12.
Still under 12.
Everything under 12.
Okay.
All the troubles under 12. No, because after 12, the father doesn't have jurisdiction over anyone. And the girl, as soon as she becomes 12, goes out free from being a slave.
Well, that also she can say, oh, no.
No. As soon as she turns 12, the Torah says she's out.
That's it.
Now, can a father sell his daughter as a slave to a relative who would not be allowed to marry her?
No, he can't.
He's not fair.
Some kind of relative.
You guys are talking about fair. What does God say? Forget the fair. Life is not fair. The question is, if I sell my daughter as a slave to somebody she wouldn't be allowed to marry. Okay. Now the Torah does say that if you sell your daughter as a slave, the master or his son can marry her. Now the question is that like a condition in the sale that you can only sell her to a person that could marry her or give her over to the son? Or is it not a condition in the sale? In other words, I can sell her as a slave. He can't marry her? That's a different problem. It's nothing to do with the selling of the slave. There's two ways of looking at it. And we'll see the two machlekes in this thing that they're going to bring down of a braisa. In the braisa, it says the first opinion says emeichel lekreivim. You cannot sell it to the relatives. You cannot sell a girl as a slave to relatives, meaning relatives that she wouldn't be allowed to marry. Why? Because the fact that the Torah says the master could marry her means it has to be a sale that would allow the girl to marry the relative. If it's a relative, you can't marry. For instance, very simple. Can a father sell his daughter to her brother as a slave?
Her brother, yes. Her own brother.
Right. What?
No, his brother or her brother. What,
her brother.
What? I don't see the difference. No. You could call it a slave or you could call it something else.
Keep property.
Can she marry her brother? So the first opinion says, then you can't sell her.
Why not?
Because the Torah says, this is what they hold. Because the condition is that the master can marry her, and in this case, the master, the brother, cannot marry his sister. So therefore the sale is no good.
You don't have to sell it. You could let the high one.
No. We're talking about the din of a... We're not talking about a working a nanny. Just don't give it a Schwarzenegger. Give it a nanny. We're talking about the din of an Amma. We're talking about the din of an Amma, which is a female Eved. That what?
Torah doesn't make it obligations. This is a nice thing to do.
To what?
That's the question, isn't it?
That's the question. This opinion says you cannot do it.
She has to be able to marry.
And they learn it out from a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Imra be'ene adinel." If the girl is not good enough in the eyes of the master to marry her, which means that the Torah is saying you need to have the ability for him to marry her. He doesn't actually have to do it if he doesn't want. But the fact that the Torah says if she was found displeasing in his eyes that he doesn't want to marry her means, that Pasuk says, that he must have an option to marry her. He doesn't have to, but he needs the option to be able to marry her for the sale to be valid. According to this opinion. Mishum Rabbi Lazar Eimer, in the name of Rabbi Lazar, he says, no, Meichel Lekreiv, you could sell it to relatives. Why? Because the Torah says, and this they also learn from a Pasuk, Ki Yimker Ish as Bita La'ama. The Torah says when a man will sell his daughter as a maidservant, that means that he can only, sometimes you can have a scenario that he's selling her only as a maidservant. In other words, Rabbi Lazar says you don't need the option to marry because the Torah says you sell her as a maidservant. So I'm selling her as a maid, she'll work. Who says he has to marry her? So this is the two opinions. What? So you have a brother and sister living in the same house like that also.
No,
it's called molestation and child abuse. No, I mean that's not a problem. The Shavin and they both agree, listen to this. Shamecha Almona Lekohen Gadol. What now a Kohen Gadol cannot marry a widow. A regular Kohen cannot marry a divorcee or a lady that had chalutza. Okay, so now, can a father sell, okay, just hypothetically, can a father sell his divorced daughter to a Kohen? Can the Kohen marry her?
No.
No?
He sells his divorced daughter. It's emancipated.
Right, she's out of the jurisdiction, but that's what Gemara's going to ask. One second. Let's get the din straight. Okay? Even though it says, according to one opinion, you cannot sell her to relatives, i.e. your brother, to a cousin you can sell her because you can marry cousins. Don't matter relative, then you're not allowed to marry her. So you can't sell her to her brother because he can't marry, according to that opinion. Yet everybody agrees that you can sell a daughter who's a widow to a Kohen Gadol, even though he cannot marry her. Or a divorced daughter to a regular Kohen. He's not allowed to marry her. But over here it's different because the Kedushin is Teifsin. Meaning like this. There are certain marriages that are completely invalid and worthless. For instance, a brother cannot marry a sister. Correct? If a brother comes over to his sister in front of two kosher witnesses, okay, single sister, gives her a ring, and says in front of two witnesses, Harei at mekodesh yosli b'tabazu kedas meishvi Yisrael. You are consecrated to me with this ring. It is worthless. She's not, doesn't need a get from her brother. Okay, she doesn't need a get from the brother. It's because it's capital punishment. And if it's capital punishment, the Kedushin is not valid at all. It's worthless. Okay? What happens, though, if a Kohen comes over to a divorcee?
Hello.
No, 1 second. But what happens if a Kohen comes over to a divorcee, or a Kohen Gadol to a widow, in front of two witnesses, gives her a ring, and says, Erei at mekudeshesli. He's not allowed to marry her.
He becomes a chol.
Is it kosher?
Huh?
Is it
kosher? Meaning, he can't marry her.
Right.
But she needs a get to marry anybody else.
Even after that?
Yeah.
Why?
Because the sin of a Kohen marrying a divorcee is not capital punishment. It's only a negative commandment. There's no capital punishment if a Kohen marries a divorcee. He's not allowed to. He has to separate. He has to give a get. But there's no capital punishment. Because it's only a negative commandment, it's not capital punishment.
Same thing with the ger.
With what?
A kain.
A kain midrabani cannot marry ger. Yeah, but a kain comes over to geratus and gives her a ring at emakadeshusli, she needs a get.
And they have to get separated right away?
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Same.
Now, technically, what happens over here? If you're selling the girl, who is a divorcee, to a kain, technically, the marriage is valid. It's sinful, but it's valid. So therefore, they all agree the fact that it's feasible to get married, even though it's a sin, but there's still a marriage there. Everybody says you can sell it to a kohen gadol or a divorcee to a kohen. Even though you can't sell it to relatives because it's forbidden, that's only when there's capital punishment involved.
So how do you sell a divorcee though, if she's emancipated?
Oh, 1 second. So the Gemara says, I am on a hechidami. How do you have a widow? Same thing as a divorcee, by the way. If the father accepted the kedushin when she was a kid, how could the father sell her? We learned, as we mentioned before, a father, once he marries off his daughter, cannot sell her. Right? So the Gemara says, how do you have a case of a widow or divorcee that the father could sell? Because once the father marries her off, he can't sell her anymore. So if the father accepted the kedushin, meaning it's a valid kedushin, how could he sell her? So it must be a different case.
Can I take a
guess?
Yeah. Okay. She's a
bas kohen. No. Don't look at Chinese. The case is again the same scenario. The girl accepted kedushin without her father. The girl accepted kedushin without the father. So Rav and Shmuel hold, she needs a get and miun, so you can have a case of a divorcee. But according to Ula, that is completely worthless. Again, how do you have a scenario where a father can sell his daughter who's a divorcee?
But 1 second. If the father was a Kohen and the guy died, she becomes a widow, she can move back into her, she has no kids, right? She can move back to her father's house and be, she's still under the jurisdiction, right?
No, she's not.
No.
He cannot marry her off. He cannot. She can eat truma. It's a whole different story.
She can eat. She can eat of the korban.
Right.
Okay. I see.
But again, the Gemara is asking a question on Ula. Here, there's a case of a father selling his divorced or widowed daughter to a slave. Right. So the question is, how do you have a case where a father married off his daughter, sold his daughter as a slave after she was married? So there's only one case. According to Rav and Shmuel, that a kid accepted Kedushin without her father's knowledge, and the Gemara says you need a get and me, and according to Rav and Shmuel, so then you have a case of divorce, but she's still under the father's jurisdiction because he never married her off. So he never married her off, so she's still under his jurisdiction. So you can have a case of a get. But according to Ula, that you don't need get, you don't need me, and you don't need anything. How in the world do you have a case that a father married off his daughter as a divorcee? Or a widow? It can't be. So, Amr Rav Yitzchak. It's speaking about the Kedushin of Yud. I'll explain in a second. Valibad Rabbi Yisib Rabbi Yehuda, and it goes according to Rabbi Yisib Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Moisa Rishain is Lav Le Kedushin Nindu. The first money was not for the sake of Kedushin.
It was like on the sale of an Eved.
Huh?
That's for the Eved?
The Kedushin didn't pay, takes. He holds like this. According to Rav, what's his name? Rabbi Yisib Rabbi Yehuda. Remember we said, when the master marries her, right? What's the Kedushin?
The original sale.
So one opinion says it's the original sale. Who accepted that money?
Father.
So who married her off?
Father.
The father. But there's a second opinion, that's not the original money that did it. Now the master marrying the girl, he's freeing, because once she gets married to him, she's not a slave anymore, she's his wife.
So she's technically getting it.
She is getting it without the knowledge of her father.
When he lets her go.
So over there, you have that case.
I'm sorry again.
What's the case? When that happens exactly right now?
She's been sold as a slave then, and then when does it happen? When he lets her go?
Huh?
When does it happen? When he lets her go?
According to the opinion that the original money doesn't count as if
she was sold as
over here, the father agreed to it. In other words, like this. He doesn't lose the right because he never accepted the Kedushin. It's not the first money that did the marriage. It's the freedom now. Right? But when the father sold her as a slave, he understood and consented that if the master will marry her, he's agreeing to it. Now, we learned before, if a girl accepts Kedushin and the father heard about it and agrees to it, then she is married. The only question is, did the father agree? Didn't the father agree? So Ullah says the father didn't agree, unless if you know that he did. But here is a case like this. The father never married her off, because the first kedusha wasn't what money that he accepted. According to Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda, what's the kedusha money that he's giving her? Her freedom. Right? So she accepted the freedom, not the father. She accepted the freedom. But the father consented to it at the time he sold her, that if this other happens, so that's why she'll need a get. But in a normal case, a girl off the street accepts Kedushin without the father, Ula says she doesn't need anything. The father never consented. Here the father consented.
Because of the sale.
So in the sale, there's an automatic stipulation, because the Torah says the guy can marry her. So then the father agreed to that. If the father agreed to that, that's the way it goes.
Is that just one opinion? Or is that there?
No, there's two opinions in the halacha. If it's the first kedushin, or it's not.
So if she wants to divorce the master, she needs a get.
Yes. Yes.
And it's no longer getting to her body. She gets to age of 12 and said, no, you can't do it because the original agreement
was from the father.
From the father and father consent.
Right. So she would need a full-fledged get. What?
At what age is the daughter allowed to say, when the father tries to sell her into marriage, at what age is the daughter allowed to say, I don't
want
to marry this
man?
She has no say.
At any age?
12 and a half.
No, if the father married off as a kid?
No, the father marries her off, wants to marry her off.
At what age can he not? 12 and a half. From 12 to 12 and a half, we learned to father her or whatever. A father cannot marry off an 18-year-old girl without permission. A 13-year-old girl. Without her permission.
Consent.
Huh? Consent, yeah. No, it's not consent, it's permission. He has no jurisdiction over her after she's 12 and a half. Whatever it's called, but it's... Okay.
Oh, yeah.